Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We are sorting out your body, your bones this afternoon. And chiropractors use all sorts of different techniques to treat problems with the muscles and joints, including spinal manipulation. And we know that those everyday aches and pains are becoming increasingly common. The World Health Organization says that approximately 1.71 billion people worldwide suffer from musculoskeletal conditions. The culprits often, yes, she says, adjusting her shoulders, putting her chin up and her shoulders back, poor posture and misalignment. We are joined this afternoon by Oliver Jones for your free clinic. He's a chiropractor at Nightingale Health Service here in Dubai. Oliver, how are you?
Good afternoon, Helen. I'm very good, thank you.
You're sitting up nicely and nice and straight.
Yes.
Good man. I can see you on Microsoft Teams. I'll be keeping an eye on that over the course of the next hour. I think there's a lot of confusion, to be honest, about who to go to for what conditions. So maybe you can help address this from the outset and perhaps explain the difference between a chiropractor, an osteopath and a physio. Are those quite distinct roles to your mind?
I think that the difference between, well, I know rather, the difference is quite distinct between physios and osteos and chiros. Chiros are a little bit more similar to osteos. Certainly, but I can go through the differences between all of them now if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I'd love, honestly, I think that would be really, really useful in terms of people directing questions specific to you as a chiropractor this afternoon, Oliver.
Okay, so physios tend to work more on the more muscular side of things. So we're talking rehab and functional and prescribing exercises and working specifically with the muscles. Whereas chiropractors and osteopaths tend to work more with the joints and the spine. So that's the main difference between physios and chiros and osteopaths. But the difference between chiros and osteopaths is a bit more nuanced. It's a bit they're a bit more similar because they both tend to do adjustments. And I can only really speak from my experience working as a chiropractor in the UK for the last 6 years. So I can tell you what the differences, the main differences are there. But I imagine that they're going to be pretty similar to the differences here. So it tends to be that they have slightly different reasons for the adjustments that we give in slightly different ways. And it also doesn't help that chiropractors and osteopaths all do different things slightly differently. It's going to be different from each chiropractor to each osteopath. So the overlap is going to be a little bit different from case to case. But generally speaking, chiropractors, I've found, have tend to have a slightly wider treatment modality range than osteopaths. Osteopaths tend to stick to the straightforward adjustment of the spine. But that's purely been my experience. But those are the main differences between those three things.
Oliver, already lots and lots of questions coming in for you, so I hope you have had a coffee. Can you quickly explain though, some of the conditions and issues that you are treating in clinic, just to give people an idea of what you can help with on the free clinic this afternoon?
Sure. So I suppose I should say what the most common things that I treat are. So by far the most common is mechanical low back pain, mechanical mid back pain, and mechanical neck pain. Often with sciatica or leg pain. So that's radicular pain going down the leg. Sometimes the radicular pain going to the arm and headaches as well. Those are kind of the bread and butter of my profession.
Can I ask, has this changed over the course of the last year? Has the pandemic impacted the things that are actually walking through the door or hobbling through the door?
Yes, it has actually. It's been very interesting. There's been a lot more patients. So in the past, I would say, there was maybe a 60-40 or maybe a 70-30 split between patients having a lot more lower back pain in relation to mid back and neck pain. But recently, because of the working conditions at home as opposed to the office, changing the posture, people not having the correct equipment or not used to working at home, there seems to be a lot more patients with mid back pain and neck pain as a result, I believe, of poor posture and the working conditions.
Well, we've had questions, everything from disc generation, lower left back pain. But before we get to the text line, we've actually got a question from our very own Nadia Swan from the Air and News Centre. We want her to stay healthy. She's performing a very important job keeping the nation informed. So let's have a listen to Nadia.
I've spent a lot of time sitting at a desk for the last 18 months, and what's happened is my L4 and L5 in my lower back seem to be giving me a lot of problem, and there's just pain radiating through my hip and down into my leg and then up the right side of my spine. So I've tried stretching, I've tried some very light yoga, I'm swimming, I'm going to the gym and just doing some rowing, nothing very much or nothing too excessive, but nothing's really making it better. I saw a chiropractor and he manipulated me a little bit, but I was in a lot of pain for 2 or 3 days, so I'm not sure about going back again and trying that. But I don't know whether to see an osteopath and what the best course of treatment would be. So I'd really like to know how to get rid of the pain.
L4, L5 there, Oliver. What advice would you give to Nadia when it comes to hopefully just getting rid of that pain altogether?
Okay, so the problem that you've described is one that I treat very regularly, really. So I can definitely advise that a chiropractor is the correct place to go to treat that problem. It's unfortunate that you had quite a bit of pain after the first treatment and after the first adjustment. Typically, that does tend to happen. If the problem's been coming on for quite a long time, it can be quite sore and painful after the first treatment. Although I believe that you've been quite unlucky with that. Typically with my patients, it's really quite rare for that to happen. So typically the treatment plan for a problem such as your own, Nadia, a mechanical low back pain like that with some radicular pain would be twice a week for maybe 2 to 3 weeks or so. That would be the treatment plan for that kind of problem. So I would advise you to give chiropractic another go, because that does, in my experience, it helps a lot of the time. So, it's quite rare for a patient to not be helped quite a lot.
So it could be a case of right practice but wrong individual. So we need to matchmake Nadia with someone who can hopefully put a smile back on her face.
Healthy Habits on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Well, I can tell you, Dubai's most popular man is on Microsoft Teams right now. It's not surprising. Chiropractic clinic is very, very popular given the number of us that have had that dreaded phrase, non-specific lower back pain. We have got Oliver Jones joining us this afternoon from Nightingale Health Service to help us out and take your questions. Lisa's been in touch with a great question saying, I've bought one of those osteopathic pillows. Do they work or are they just a gimmick? They are not cheap. They are not cheap. But Oliver, when it comes to pillows, sleeping positions, have you got any advice for good spine health, please, sir?
Okay. Yes, I do. So they are not a gimmick, getting that out of the way. They do help quite a bit, although it does depend very much, as you might imagine, on what your problem is with the neck. Typically with my patients, I suppose there's a bit of selection bias and then I'm already seeing them as my patients, but typically what happens is that I prescribe various types of pillows or sleeping positions for them as they get better. So it's usually a tool that I employ as they're getting better to keep them better, rather than a tool to help get them out of the pit of their pain that they start with. So it's a tool that's good for the long term to keep them well, rather than a kind of a treatment type of curative.
So it's more to do with wellness rather than treating sickness, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And when it comes to sleeping position, is it, well, what would be your dream, you know, to tell everyone this afternoon? Tonight you must sleep on your back, your side, your front. If just making sure we're all tippity-top.
Okay. So the best one is typically lying on your side. Although, of course, if you've got some problem that inhibits you from doing that, then, of course, I recommend you don't do anything that aggravates it. But typically the best is on your side. The middle would be on your back, and then the worst would be on your front.
There you go, friends.
Typically get quite a lot of neck patients with lying on their front. Yeah.
I think unfortunately a lot of us just kind of shift around without even thinking about it. Next thing you know, you've woken up sprawled out and we're not as conscious sleepers as we should be, so to speak. Right, going to the text line for a quick fire round. Elisa's been in touch saying, I've got disc degeneration across different parts of my spine. My mum has it too. Is it true genetics are important for back health? Please say no, because my dad spent a lot of time just not being able to put his socks on. Please say no. Oh no, hesitation.
Specifically, what was the wording in that? It was
disc degeneration genetics across different parts of her spine.
Yeah. Okay. I think that you can be genetically predisposed, but I think that it's a lot more to do with your lifestyle choices. I think that would be a good answer to that one.
Okay.
So livable.
No, let's go into lifestyle choices, though, because are there any things that we should, I mean, I'm thinking about the experience that you have, you know, peer reports, things you're seeing coming into clinic. Is there anything that we, the general public, and I'm talking about staying healthy rather than treating pain, exercises, stretching, even things around supplementation, diet, that you think, if you could wave a magic wand, would keep all of us, and I don't want to take away from your salary or indeed health insurance companies. I don't want anyone to lose any money, but I also don't want people ending up, you know, on the bed when they shouldn't be.
Of course.
What should we all be doing to stay away from you, Oliver?
So if there was one thing that I could advise everyone to do that would help a lot with a lot of people's problems, help a lot to be healthy and fit, it would be to, it's funny because you mentioned it earlier, actually, with Nadia's case. With her lower back pain and the ways that she tried to avoid it, going swimming is a very good way, especially for lower back pain, because it's a non-weight bearing exercise, so it doesn't aggravate a lot of the problems that you may have that may be building up. So typically, especially in the UK, I ended up having to bully a lot of patients to go swimming after I'd gotten better, because it helps a lot and it gets them fit, lose weight, and they feel a lot healthier in themselves, and it helps a lot with their problems. But here in Dubai, there's actually a lot more swimming pools absolutely everywhere, so it's been a lot easier so far getting people to go swimming.
I like it. You could prescribe a gym membership. I like it, but no, I think that's very sensible advice indeed. And I love this question. No name on this one, and you can, of course, when we're talking health, be completely anonymous. It makes no odds to us at all if you put your name on or not. Anonymous message saying, is it worth going to a chiropractor for a general checkup? Mild pain, but probably just from sitting a little bit too much. You're talking a lot about kind of prevention of pain, really. If someone comes in and they're a few twinges, maybe their alignment's a little bit off, can it be too early to come and see an expert?
No, it can't be too early. Very, very simple answer to that one. It's actually a lot more preferable to the patient and for myself as well, because it takes a lot less treatment, it takes a lot less pain to nip the problem in the bud, so to speak, rather than let it develop and get worse and create other satellite problems elsewhere in the body. So it is much, I would say that it is definitely worth getting a head start on your problems by getting a consultation and seeing where your problems are, where your problems are developing, and sorting them out before they become bigger problems. For sure.
Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Talking about your health this afternoon, it is your free clinic with chiropractor Oliver Jones. He's at Nightingale Health Services here in Dubai. And Adriana called in to ask this.
I would like to ask about my son's condition. He was born 3 years ago with torticollis. We did quite a lot of physiotherapy and also we went to an osteopath. It has helped quite a bit. But at the age of 3, he still has a bit of a head tilt. So I was wondering if chiropractic treatment would be beneficial for him.
Great question from Adriana. So her 3-year-old was born with torticollis. They've had a bit of physiotherapy, but still a bit of a head tilt. When is chiropractic recommended for children, Oliver? And do you think you could help out Adriana, her little boy?
That's kind of two questions there, isn't there? Well, specifically with your little boy, he already seems to be getting manual treatment from the physiotherapist and the osteopath. I think that my recommendation would be that he continues on with that manual care, regardless of whether it's from the osteopath, chiropractor. I think that if he still does have the torticollis problem, or a slight, I think you said that it was much better, then I would recommend that he keeps on with the manual treatment. I wouldn't want to recommend you to go to a chiropractor over the osteopath or physiotherapist in that case for that specific problem.
Thank you for your honesty.
I would say, yeah.
And we have a question here from Sneha.
So I've been having back issues for years now, and it's a space issue between my lower spine that has crunched and possibly due to my pregnancy. Anyway, my question is, I see that everyone's biking around now. That's like the new exercise fad, you know, after the lockdown and after COVID. And both my boys ride a bike, and I want to too, but I'm a little apprehensive because I feel like it could damage my back. So is there any correlation? Like, will it strengthen my back? Is it a good exercise for someone with back issues?
Singing the praises of swimming earlier, what about biking for anyone who's got back issues, Oliver?
In my experience, I would say that going cycling, things like that, can aggravate the pain quite a bit. So I would recommend that you do get some physical therapy from a chiropractor or elsewhere. But I would recommend a chiropractor, of course, being one. But I would recommend that you get that seen to before you go cycling or start getting into that. Because there is it's not 100% that it would aggravate your problem, because depending on what it is, it can be aggravated in different ways. But I would say that it's definitely worth getting it seen to before engaging in that kind of activity. Yeah.
A similar question here saying, hi there, I regularly exercise. I've got a lower left back pain for a year and a half now. I'm trying to avoid exercises that aggravate it and always conscious with my form. My question is this ever going to go? What is the remedy? Would hot compressors every night help? I'm 45 years old and female, if that helps. And I know we're not supposed to like Louis C.K. I know he's on the naughty list, but he did do a really funny sketch a number of years ago, which was him going to the doctor, I think about a sore wrist or a sore ankle, and saying, you know, I'm in a bit of pain here, doctor, what do I do? And the doctor gives him exercises. And he goes, okay, great, how long do I do that for? He said, no. This is what you do now. You know, when you get to a certain age, do you still start to have to live with certain aches and pains? So no name on this message, but 45, she's avoiding things that aggravate, you know, this lower left back pain. Is there any kind of remedy? Or, you know, at what point do you need to accept that this is the way you are?
The answer to that last question is excessively no. I've heard many patients over the years that have come in with very similar stories that have been told by various other professionals, health professionals, that they just have to deal with their pain, or they just have to accept it or live with it, or variations to that effect. And the vast majority of the time, it's not the case. You just need to go and see a health professional who knows a bit more about mechanical conditions that can help you with those problems. At the age of 45, it sounds like you've got the onset of some OA, which is just wear and tear. So possibly a different type of low back pain and a different type of mechanical low back pain, but it's certainly not anything that you should have to accept or just deal with or do exercises or hot compress or what have you to just try and manage it like that. Go and see someone to get to the root of the problem, and then you can use the various other things, the exercises, etc., to then stay on top of the problem in the long run. But you should not accept that explanation, no.
I think that raises an interesting question, mentioning hot compressors there. When should hot be cold be used, and when should cold be used?
Obviously, the listeners can't see, but I'm grinning like a bit of a loon on that question.
I can see you.
it's a bit of a, pardon the pun, a bit of a hotly debated topic on that one, because the evidence has changed a little bit over the course of the years. But typically what I say is that if you're after my treatments, I always say that if it's a little bit sore, such is the case with previous patient, if it's because after the first treatment, it can be quite sore because of the inflammation that's been building up for however long, being released all at the same time. But going back to the point, ice packs are typically very good for inflammation type of problems. Whereas if a muscle is really tight and you need to loosen it off and then start stretching it, then heat is better for that. But that would be my blanket statement.
Okay.
Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Talking about chiropractic health this afternoon, we have got Oliver Jones with us from Nightingale Health Service here in Dubai. Very popular on the text line. We've had a message from Tani here saying, I was in a minor car accident a few weeks ago and my head snapped back, still very tender down the front right side of my neck. Whiplash, what can I do? Tani, I got whiplash a couple of weeks ago from roller skating. That's a guaranteed way to make me feel my age. Whiplash and treatment, Oliver, what can be helpful? Is whiplash tend to be more muscular, or is there a skeletal impact there as well?
It's mostly muscular, although there can be a skeletal element as well, as you say. In terms of treatment, I can recommend kind of soft manual therapy. It can be very effective. and has been effective in my experience. And then after that, and during that, you want to be using exercises as well to loosen off particularly the muscles in the neck, because everything spasms up quite a lot, as you might imagine. Yeah, it's quite a straightforward problem to treat.
Tani, don't suffer in silence. Get yourself in on the bed. You mentioned earlier about kind of a treatment plan. It was for Nadia Swan, actually, from the RN News Centre, about two sessions a week for a couple of weeks. Are there any instances where it can be a one-session fix? Could someone come into you and be like, I just feel a bit, and you give it a, and everyone walks out happy? Or is that a rare and beautiful thing?
it's a very good question, and one that I do encounter quite a lot. So typically, I will recommend for mechanical pain, whether it's the neck pain, low back pain, mid back pain, the twice a week for 2-3 weeks, which normally comes between four and six treatments, of course. The answer to the question of whether sometimes it can feel a lot better after the first treatment is yes, it can feel a lot better after the first treatment. And sometimes, often really, it does feel a lot better after the first treatment. The patient feels a lot less pain, a lot more movement. But the fact of the matter is that these problems don't come out of nowhere, and they tend to have built up for quite a long time with the vast majority of people that come in with pain to see a chiropractor. So it's not usually a one treatment fix. It's getting to the root of the problem and then keeping you out of the problem time, out of the pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think having seen lots of physiotherapists in my time, I always leave that room full of good intentions with a piece of paper in my hand showing me the exercises I'm supposed to do between that, and I just don't do it. Yeah. I lie, I nod along, say, yep, of course, I'm all over it. I never do it. I always feel like it would be amazing if there was a secret switch that, you know, you professionals could just find and flip it, and then we get billed for a few hundred dirhams, we sent to our insurance company, and happy days. Actually, Patrick raising an interesting point on the text line saying, why is it the insurance companies here never cover chiro and consider it to be alternative medicine? I had an issue with a slip disc, and they would have covered a full operation, knife in, but rejected chiro, which was a third of the price. Not a question for Oliver, but a good point to be raised. Brian's been in touch saying, any ideas of what I might done? I was sat kneeling on the floor looking for something. All of a sudden, the centre of my lower back, there was a sharp pain and what felt like an elastic band snapping and pinging outwards. It's the only way I can think to describe it. It's now incredibly painful. I had to get help to get up and lay down. Any tips to ease the pain, please? Ouch, Brian, that does sound painful. What, no pun intended, springs to mind, Oliver, upon hearing Brian's message?
It sounds like he's got a straightforward mechanical low back pain. And it sounds like the muscle is spasmed up to protect his spine. So typically how these things go is, again, there's one occasion where you put your body through just a little bit too much stress, but usually it's a building up affair, whether it's sitting down for long periods, doing what have you exercise, or having incorrect form, whatever it is, and then something will just kind of push your body over the edge, and then you're in agony, the muscle spasms up to protect your spine. So that sounds very much like what his problem is. So again, I would recommend going for some manual therapy to loosen the muscle off and then deal with the underlying problem, which is very likely inflammation in joints and spine. Mm.
And I know we're talking spine and neck today, but can you settle an argument that seems to be raging on? When people pop their knuckles or crack their bones, what's really going on? And can it give you arthritis in years gone by, like my granny used to suggest?
No.
Yay, good to know.
I believe I read a study, although I must admit it is quite some time ago now, back when I was at university, where a fellow was rather obsessively pursuing this subject, where he cracked all of the knuckles on one of his hands, I think it was his right, and then didn't do it on the left hand, and then kind of reassessed after five years or something like that, and there was no noticeable effect, discernible difference. So yes, it does kind of lead me on to a second point, though, if you can entertain me.
You shouldn't
really crack your own spine, per se, because that can sometimes make your problems worse. Because if you're doing it to your own spine and it's quite difficult to do it to the specific part where you need to be doing it to, then it can make your problem worse. If you're not careful.
Safe, trained hands. There you go. The hands and voice of Oliver Jones joining us from Nightingale Health Service. Oliver, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.